I'm Mark Steiner.
I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And welcome back. We want you all to join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Anthony and I have a jam-packed couple of hours for you, as I described. One thing I didn't describe, at the very end of our second hour, we will hear Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders 8 minutes of his very passionate, thoughtful, eight-and-a-half-hour filibuster about the economy and the taxation bill. So we'll leave with that at the end of our program today.
And when you hear it, you're going to want to go online and listen to the rest of it. It's
as
powerful.
As much of it as you can. There's a lot to listen to.
Yeah, it's powerful.
But this first hour, we're going to talk about WikiLeaks. And we are going to talk first with Greg Hausch. Is it Hausch or Hausch?
Hausch.
Hausch, good. Greg Hausch, who is an internet activist who has been monitoring Anonymous and Operation Payback. He's not involved with the most recent activities regarding WikiLeaks. He was involved with other activities earlier. And Greg, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
So this has been the first thing, though, I guess, that before we ask you more about your analysis of what's going on with Anonymous and what exactly is happening here, I think it's pretty surprising when people see this news and witness activists around the globe being able to take down places like MasterCard and banks in Switzerland who have shut Assange and WikiLeaks out.
Right. People are absolutely shocked that the power exists there.
So talk a bit about what you know about the idea and the strategy behind this, and what do you think is your analysis of what's taking place?
Well, you know, the idea is that WikiLeaks is, of course, a journalistic organization, so we believe that they should be covered by freedom of the press. And, of course, we believe in free speech. And since, from what we can tell, you know, not only by the fact that no charges have been filed and no one has been found guilty in a court of law, no laws have been broken, all these companies that are stopping their services with WikiLeaks, they could just step up and say, we don't agree with them ideologically. But instead, they're specifically saying that, you know, we don't allow illegal activities on our services. Well, so far, there's been no proof of illegal activities. There's not even a charge yet. So that's really getting to people on this side. And so they've decided that those companies need to be shown that people are angry. And this is one of the few ways that, you know, people on the Internet have to actually get that point across, because it's not like calling the front desk at Visa is going to get that point across.
This is Anthony McCarthy. I understand the point you just made as you were giving your analysis of why this is happening. But there are those who have written over the last couple of days that this is the wrong message for these activists to be sending. You don't win over people to your position by shutting down their websites and costing them millions of dollars.
You'd be surprised. I kind of agree with that. But then you look at PayPal.
Good point.
You know, they stopped working with them, but then yesterday they released the funds, and they did it under pressure. And, you know, it's that whole do you negotiate with terrorists kind of an argument. You know, do you really, you know, give in now that this has happened? You know, who knows? But one of the more interesting aspects of it is I highly doubt I'd be sitting here talking on your show if they hadn't been doing the attacks, if they had just been trying to spread the information and call up reporters and say, hey, this is what's going on. We care about free speech. There wouldn't have been anywhere near as much coverage. And to a lesser extent, that's one of the points. You know, we have so many messages on this side that we need to get out, and they're attached to all of these stories about the attacks. It might be the second part, but they're there.
I mean, we're talking about attacks on PayPal, MasterCard, Visa, Bank in Switzerland, one that was not carried out on Amazon. And some, you just used the
and
word.
The Bank of America.
The Bank of America. Mm-hmm. Now there are. The question is this the beginning? What does it say about the notion this is the beginning of a cyber wars? And what does it say about what the coming conflicts might be from your perspective on that level?
Well, you know, it actually does. The problem is, you know, there's so many different terms people have tried to apply to this. Info
right.
War, cyber war, even cyber terrorism, which just isn't the case. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's my personal opinion, of course. But, you know, being an observer and not actually taking part in the acts, I'm able to look at it a lot more objectively than some of the people who are taking part. And I will say that, you know, it's interesting. I keep getting the same question, you know, is this the future? Is this what's going to be happening from now on? You know, activism, you know, there's no longer sit-ins. It's now attacks online. You know, where is this going? And I can't tell you where it's going or what the word is that really describes it. I don't think one word does a good job. And being that this is really only the second time in history that something like this has happened, you know, we still don't know where it ends up. Because, quite honestly, the public is actually supporting this quite well. I mean, over 60,000 people have downloaded that software that's used to do the attacks. And you know that, you know...
How many did you say?
Over 60,000 now have downloaded it. And, you know that's not just the few technical anons who actually had anything to do with getting it written or getting it up and working. That's just the general public joining in, and they join in more and more every day.
So let's talk about what you think, what we all think, your questions about this, Anthony, what this divide is. What is this two sides of the world we're talking about here?
Well, from our point of view, we're talking about people who are attempting to regulate things that they don't really understand, and they are stumbling every step of the way. They are trying, you know, regulations such as net neutrality and things like that, you know, all those big arguments that are going on right now that have really incensed this side of, I guess you could call it, the battle. And they really don't know what they're stepping in. I mean, the U.S. government attempting to regulate any of this is going to run into the one interesting problem that just the other day, watching their chat channels and watching what was going on in Operation Payback, one person joined the channel and said, "Hi, I'm from the Netherlands." Just announcing where he was from. I don't fully know why he did it, but everyone else in the channel thought it was a great idea and started saying the same. "Hey from Germany, hey from France." And when they started listing off all their countries or their major cities that they were a part of, you know, not giving away who they were, but just relatively close to them, every major city and every major country in the world was covered. It was just astounding to see how global this really was. And so these people trying to regulate it, really trying to put their hands around all of this and, you know, kill the free speech and kill what we believe to be the freedom of speech for the press and all the freedom of press that's out there. They're really failing hard, and their failures are leading to more and more of these style attacks.
So what has happened since with Operation Payback's Twitter account, his Facebook pages? Where is that now?
You know, those keep getting taken down, of course, because, as I will fully admit, the people who are doing the distributed denial of service, the attacks, are breaking the law. And, you know, Twitter and Facebook are well within their rights to remove illegal content from their sites. But they do keep going down, and they keep popping right back up a few seconds later on a different account. And with Twitter, you're lucky because the hashtags are how everything does things, you know? So the next time someone moves to a different account, they re-announce the new account on the new hashtag, and it's back up and running for hours. And it only takes seconds to re-announce to the world the new one every time they shut it down. So it's not really slowing anything down.
Well, Greg, I'm curious about, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have been engaging in this debate as well. You said that, you know, no one's been charged with anything, speaking specifically of the WikiLeaks release of the documents. But our attorney general has made it very clear on the position of the United States government that they are actively engaged in a very deep investigation, and they don't care where it leads. But their plan, they believe that illegal actions have been taken in the release of this information. They believe that someone on the inside is responsible, and they want to get everyone on the outside that's associated, including Mr. Assange, with WikiLeaks. So there is a position that they not have been charged, as you said, but certainly accused of illegal actions, including treason against this country.
Absolutely. And for everyone involved with WikiLeaks, treason doesn't apply.
That's a very good point, yeah.
They aren't in this country. So every time someone from our government uses the word treason, it's quite funny to this side. Because, you know, they aren't citizens of this wonderful country. Now, I will say a few things, you know, to that point. On this side, you know, since we do believe no laws are broken, and we believe that they are a journalistic organization, they are reporters, they are the media, they get protection because they, WikiLeaks, didn't leak anything. Someone in the government leaked it to them, and this is something that really needs to be clarified for the general public. You know, the leak, the illegal act, depending on what job you have and what you've signed with the government, happened when someone gave it to WikiLeaks. It wasn't WikiLeaks who did the illegal act. They are just like the New York Times or the Guardian or Der Spiegel or any of these other big, you know, worldwide news organizations that are getting them out to the world. And they need that protection. And One of the more interesting things that happened today was all of the big organizations down in Australia, the newspapers, the websites, the magazines, got together and put out a single unified press release as an open letter to the Prime Minister, stating very clearly that every one of them signed off on this, which was a very long list of nearly everyone in that country that runs a magazine or a newspaper, believe WikiLeaks to be a member of the press, to be media, and that they deserve the protection, and that they were amazed that the government was allowing other governments to threaten to assassinate an Australian citizen who was acting on behalf of the people. Hmm. And that's one of the more interesting things from today.
And I guess this has potential to continue, depending on what happens with Assange and his either extradition and or trial, and what America may or may not do in terms of indicting Assange, and what comes out in the next WikiLeaks packages.
Right. You know, it's going to continue in a few different directions. Depending on what companies do, you know, attacks could continue. I mean, they've slowed down a bit lately, these last few days, but they could ramp right back up if another company comes out and does something that this side believes is wrong. But the thing that is going to start happening now is, you know, more what we call real-life activity, you know, RL. It's protest. It's spreading the information. It's me talking to you guys, you know, trying to get the general public to understand that this is a fight they should be interested in. They should be interested in our side, because our side is all about free speech and protection of the press. And that's what's happening now. You can look at Facebook. You can look at Twitter. You can see all these people. I mean, New York already had a protest, and there's more to come. You know, there's weekends and weekends just going out into the future, all getting organized in every major city. We're going to be setting up Boston's here probably for about 2-3 weeks from now, and it's just that's where it's heading. It's going to head to real-life protests. And the civil disobedience, the level at which these end up, you know, going to is really, really, really dependent on the other side. You know, what does the government do to Julian? What happens with WikiLeaks? Does it actually get protection in its own country down there where he's from in Australia, or does the Prime Minister go against what all the press down there say? You know, it's all on them to decide what happens on this side next and what level it happens at.
Well, Greg, let me ask you this, since you've been so willing to share your personal thoughts and kind of give us some insight into what is going on with these cyber protests and pending real-life protests. What do you think about WikiLeaks provided the New York Times with these documents months in advance?
Yep.
And there was a lot of back and forth between the New York Times and the State Department. And although the State Department's position was clear from the start, they believed that the New York Times should not publish what they consider to be illegally obtained documents. But one of the editors at the New York Times said, look, we agreed with them. We redacted a lot of stuff. We took a lot of stuff out that they believed would put national security at risk. And there were other things that we didn't agree with them on. Does that sound like freedom of the press to you?
It absolutely does. You know, one of the reasons an organization like WikiLeaks has become necessary is that the press has really become complacent. Mm. I see more articles about Kim Kardashian than I do about anything that actually
that is so true.
Anything. You know, the information out there that really needs to get to the people isn't getting to them. And maybe that has something to do with attention spans these days and all these newspapers and magazines wanting eyeballs. But, you know, there are no more Woodwards and Bernsteins. There are no more Daniel Ellsbergs with the Pentagon Papers. You know, and there are no journalists really at that level attempting to build those types of sources anymore. You just don't see it happening, and it's been a long time since it has happened and happened on any kind of scale necessary. You know, a lot of people on this side believe that you can't have a free society without it being kept in check very clearly by the people. And without the press, without the journalists, the reporters out there doing their job in our eyes of building these sources, getting this information when corruption happens, when illegal activities happen, no one's doing it. And then it just is going to spiral out of control. And so someone like a WikiLeaks appears and says, if they're not doing it, we're going to. And here's where we end up. I will end that statement there with the one thing that the government has repeated over and over is that, you know, WikiLeaks has put lives at risk, has put soldiers at risk, you know, general public, diplomats, everyone at risk. They've been doing this now daily, releases of all kinds of fun stuff, for four straight years. Not a single, not one, credible report of anyone getting even so much as a fingernail cut, let alone killed. And you have to expect that with just how much our government dislikes what's going on, if someone did end up really getting harmed by this and they could prove it was WikiLeaks, it would be all over every news station for 24 hours a day for the next year to prove their point. Well, then, it hasn't happened because it hasn't happened. No one has been injured by this, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen because WikiLeaks is being responsible. Like you said, they're working with the New York Times, the Guardian, Der Spiegel, all these other places to redact these things properly before they go out.
And that's where we're going to pick up as we end this conversation and get ready to start exactly where you left off with this. Now, read something from one of our listeners on Facebook. Jerry Adney writes in, anonymous isn't a group. That's the whole point. we've been talking with Greg Hausch, internet activist who's been monitoring Anonymous and Operation Payback and was not involved in the most recent activity regarding WikiLeaks, but was involved in with the issues with the Scientology before. And Greg, thanks for being with us. Appreciate you taking the time.
Glad to be here. Anytime.
Take care.
Thanks, Greg.
Bye.
Now, Anthony McCarthy and I are about to have a conversation with Sam Faddis, who's been a guest on the show many times before, former CIA operations officer, author of Willful Neglect, The Dangerous Illusion of Homeland Security, which is his latest book, and Kevin Zeese, who joins us here in studio. He's director of the Campaign for Fresh Air and Clean Politics. And Sam and Kevin, welcome. Good to have you both with us.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here.
How are you doing, Sam? It's been a while since we've laid eyes, but it's nice to hear your voice.
I'm doing well, starting to stay warm like everybody else.
And you all can join us here, 410-319-8888. We're going to discuss, Anthony McCarthy and I, with our two guests here, the question whether or not WikiLeaks is treason. Is WikiLeaks a danger to our society? Or is WikiLeaks a patriotic effort and a voice of liberty? Is it freedom of the press? Or something else going on here is what we're going to have. Very different perceptions, I think, from our two guests about this. And Sam, let me start with you, if I might.
Okay.
What do you see? What is your analysis of what WikiLeaks has done and the role it's played, and whether or not you would agree that maybe you would say it's less than this, but treasonous activity?
Yeah, well, I don't know whether I want to get hung up on the use of the term treason, but
okay.
But clearly, I do think. It's a very serious matter, and you know me well enough to know as caveats that I'm probably one of the last people in the world to trust the federal government, and I certainly believe very strongly in the power of a free press as a check on government. But this release of kinds of documentation that's been released here is potentially extremely dangerous, and if I can give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
That's been discussed here is the release of cable traffic, diplomatic traffic, referred to as cables, dealing with discussions with the Yemeni government. Yemen is a place that right now is a hotbed of terrorist activity. Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, very active there. And there's a whole series of attacks that have come almost to fruition on U.S. soil over the last year that are all traceable back there. Yemen is also a very unstable place with a weak government and very, very difficult for the Yemenis to come out and take forceful action. So it is clear from these documents that have been released that the U.S. government has been going on to Yemeni soil with their knowledge, taking action against terrorist groups that are actively trying to kill Americans every day. And the Yemenis, because they cannot possibly admit that publicly, have been claiming that it is their own forces that have been doing this. They've been lying internally to their own people to cover the actions of American forces that are acting every day to save American lives. Now, all of that discussion has now been brought out into the open so that the Yemeni government is now branded not just in front of their own people but in front of the rest of the Arab world as having colluded with the Americans to this extent. That cannot possibly help but have an immensely chilling effect on the willingness of the Yemenis to continue to do that. The next American that has to walk into the room with a senior Yemeni government official and ask for that level of cooperation is, you can imagine, you have no legs to stand on. How could you possibly ask them to take that kind of step again. And again, they're in a, I mean, we'd love to live in a world where they could come out politically and openly and say what's going on, but they don't. I mean, that's why this kind of arrangement has been cobbled together. And it is going to have a very negative impact on our ability to do this.
Kevin, there's a lot of room that we have in the next 40 minutes to talk on, 25 minutes to talk about a number of areas here. So focus a bit on what Sam was just saying.
Well, I have a different view, obviously. We started a project called WikiLeaksIsDemocracy.org because we think that Americans need to side with WikiLeaks against our own government that's threatening Julian Assange. We call it WikiLeaks' democracy because you can't really have a democracy with a government that lies to us so much. And already in the releases that we've seen, only less than 1,000 cables have been released out of 250,000. Already we've seen the United States as a country that spies on its allies, it spies on UN diplomats, it's turned the State Department into a nest of spies, it threatens, it blackmails our allies. It discusses with allies which country to bomb next. We are describing in these documents, we see ourselves like we have not seen ourselves before as a rogue state. I mean, what country blackmails, threatens, bombs, you know, lies, breaks laws, looks the other way for torture? We are a rogue state. And while what's going on in Yemen is an interesting example, the reality is that because of the activities of the CIA and the U.S. military-industrial intelligence complex for decades, that's why we're not safe. Go back to 1953 and the overthrow of Mossadegh, the Iranian elected prime minister. We put in place a Shah who was brutal, who brutalized his people, and really that was put up so much pressure in Iran that in 1979 we saw that cork blow, and now we have a theocracy there. That's a problem for us. And look what different it would have been in that region if Mossadegh had been allowed to do what he promised to do when he was elected, which was make sure his country got the oil profits or a bigger share of the oil profits. That's all they wanted. They wanted to benefit from their own resources. But instead we took out this elected, democratically elected official. He could have been a shining light for the Arab world on how democracy can represent their people. But instead, we put in place a dictator. Thank you, CIA. Great job. That's just a few years after the CIA was founded. So we've had this policy for decades, and we've had a compliant press. The New York Times and Washington Post have supported every illegal war we've been in, and they're all illegal. We're not been attacked. Afghanistan didn't attack us. Al-Qaeda did. Iraq never attacked us, never even had the capacity to attack even an ally. It's all, you know, these illegal wars that are wars of aggression by the United States are why we are hated. And so let's hope that WikiLeaks continues and we see a change in foreign policy. That's the only thing that's going to save lives. You know, attacking more people in Yemen with secret bombs, you know that's going to come out at some point, that Yemen is either doing it because of U.S. pressure or the U.S. is doing it with Yemen's approval, as we know in Pakistan is happening as well. The same kind of dynamic is in place where the Pakistani government says they oppose the bombing and we know the U.S. is actually getting their permission to bomb and going ahead with it. It's making enemies in Pakistan, a nuclear country. I mean, U.S. foreign policy is off track in large part because our media does not tell us the truth. Our government lies the media. The media reports it as if it's true when it's lies. And finally, we have someone standing up and saying, we're going to tell the truth. And we need the truth to get this right.
I think there are two things happening here, Anthony. Before you jump in, let me just throw some out. Mm-hmm. Please jump right in. And I want to come back. I have one question here because of what you just said, Kevin, I'm going to ask Sam, but then I want to come back to the question of Yemen and what America can or should or should not do,
yeah,
which I think a really big part of what this opening this debate about our foreign policy. But the question is, one of the things you posited, and Sam, I mean, you being Kevin, and Sam, I mean, is it, when we say America is one of the only or few countries who plays these diplomatic games and plays this role, do you think that's true?
No.
Of course not.
Not at all true. I mean, whether we wish it were that way or not, and I'm not saying we shouldn't continue to strive to create a better world, and I don't mean that facetiously, I mean it very sincerely. The reality is that is the way foreign policy and diplomacy works worldwide and has worked worldwide since nations began. There's every every nation on Earth is collecting information on every other nation on Earth. And unfortunately, a lot of times to the United States, yes, is brokering deals in back rooms that people are not willing to make in the light of day.
So, I mean, and would you disagree with that, really?
No, of course.
I mean, one of the things that struck me about this, and I'll just, Kevin, I'll let you throw this, then we'll come back to Yemen, and I'm going to get my brother in here to throw his questions in here, is that the WikiLeaks said to me two things. That A, well, the second part I'll come to later, which has to do with the oil corporations in Nigeria, what hit me when I read those. But that this is very Shakespearean in many ways. I don't mean to downgrade it to a theatrical drama, but it is. And it is the way this has always worked, that any diplomat behind closed doors over a cocktail by himself or she or herself would say this is how it works, that we're not doing anything in America any more than anybody else would do.
The problem with the way that this is always how it's worked argument is you could say that about slavery. This is how it's always worked. Blacks have always been slaves. Or this is how it's always worked. Women have never voted. This is how it's always worked. We've always lived in caves. The more transparency that we bring to government, the less that reality will exist. The more that people in government know that they could be exposed by somebody leaking the truth, that their crimes might be exposed, the less that's going to occur. And that's what we need to strive for. But we as the United States need to strive for protecting freedom of press and our right as citizens to know what our government does. That's why we say WikiLeaks is democracy.org, because without knowing what our government is doing, we can't have representative democracy. How do we vote, you know, if we know that Hillary Clinton now is sending out memos? Now we know Hillary Clinton sending out memos, you know, turning the State Department into a nest of spies. You know, she shouldn't be president.
It's folks. Always been a nest of spies, but I'm trying to say
she shouldn't be president if that's what she's doing. She should be changing that. She should not be letting the diplomats illegally spy on UN delegates. That's illegal. And so, yeah, it's always been that way. Well, we shouldn't be breaking the law. I'm sorry. And always been that way is not the way it's going to be in the future. And thanks to WikiLeaks, we may have that change. And the people are reacting. You heard the previous call, the previous interview. 60,000 people have downloaded to respond to the attacks of WikiLeaks. 1,800 mirror sites have been set up of WikiLeaks. Every time they try to shut it down, 10 more, 100 more. Now 1,800 have been set up. You're seeing people respond to this in big ways, and because the people want the truth. We don't want to be lied to. It's always been government saying, sorry, you can't talk about that. It used to be that, you know, the British Parliament's debates were secret and not allowed to be reported on. That because you can't let them see what we're saying in Parliament, you know? Well, yes, you can. It doesn't have to always be that way.
Sam?
Well, obviously what we're talking about here is we're talking about a balance, and I am all for the fact that the people need to keep a very close eye on the federal government, and we need a vigorous and a robust democracy. But, you know, there's a difference between democracy and anarchy. And there are reasons why information needs to be kept secret on occasion. Now, that doesn't mean I'm saying that the United States government doesn't overclassify things or that every secret they claim shouldn't be revealed necessarily, that that's the case. But there are clearly things where you're sitting in private talking to foreign governments on sensitive issues, and you want to talk to the King of Saudi Arabia about the Iranian nuclear weapons program. And if you want the King of Saudi Arabia to have an honest conversation with you and actually discuss what's going on and where he honestly sits and what his country is going to do if such and such happens, the only way that conversation is going to take place is if he knows that it's not going to be broadcast worldwide. And if it is going to be broadcast worldwide and he can't trust you anymore, just like would happen in your personal relationships if you couldn't be relied on to keep a secret, he will shut up. He will stop trusting you. He will stop cooperating with you. And the national interest of the American people is not served when that happens.
Maybe he'll stop advocating war. If he knows that he'll be caught advocating war against a neighbor, maybe he'll stop advocating war.
We'll take a brief break. Come right back. Anthony McCarthy raised some issues. I want to come back to the question of Yemen and the threats that we hear in the press and know about in terms of attacks on America and what America's right or role is there and what these cable leaks might have done there. But I want to talk about the cable leaks that reveal the – one of the things that really hit me in these cable leaks was the corporate power and what it did in places like Nigeria. That said a great deal. We'll talk about that and more with our two guests. Anthony McCarthy and I are here with Kevin Zeese, director of the Campaign for Fresh Air and Clean Politics, Sam Faddis, a former CIA operations officer and author of his latest book, Willful Neglect, The Dangerous Illusion of Homeland Security. And we'll be right back at 410-319-8888. On the way there, let me just tell you the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. And Leo and whoever these other people are calling in, you'll be coming up in a few minutes on the air to ask your questions. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, here with
Anthony McCarthy
and our two guests, Sam Faddis and Kevin Z. Sam Faddis, former CIA operations officer. His latest book is Willful Neglect, The Dangerous Illusion of Homeland Security, which we've yet to interview you about. We have to get you on for that. And Kevin Z. is director of the Campaign for Fresh Air and Clean Politics. 410-319-8888. Anthony?
I had two questions. Well, really just one question. I want to read a comment that one of our Facebook friends, Mark, has written. She's a little upset with our friend Kevin Zeese and his position on WikiLeaks. But I believe, Kevin, you keep talking about WikiLeaks as if their status as press or media is pretty much established. And I think there still remains, and I'd be very curious to hear what Sam's thoughts on this, because as he started the program saying that he very much supports this concept that we have always had in this nation of a free press. But, Kevin, a lot of people are arguing that WikiLeaks is not protected, that they are not they are not press or media. Their existence has been to accept these documents that are leaked to them, some people believe illegally leaked to them, and to publish them, giving the information out to news agencies for reprint. They see them as something of an intermediary, not actually a member of the press. Why you seem to really see them, you call them democracy on your website, but you see them as they've defended themselves, as a member of the press.
Well, they've defined themselves that way. Julian is the editor-in-chief mm-hmm. of a nonprofit press organization, as he describes it. The courts have been completely consistent since the 1940s on this question. Press does not just mean written press, as it did when the Bill of Rights was passed. It means electronic media, and it means web media. There's no question about web media being press under the First Amendment. So there's no debate about that. I know some of the federal government try to say that to play on people's misunderstanding about reality, but that really is not something that's debated in the courts. And so if they are, you know, and I listen to what they're trying to do as far as indicting Assange, and they're talking about the Espionage Act. The last time that was used in 1971 was against the New York Times, and they failed in stopping the New York Times from publishing the Pentagon Papers. And I think that case makes it pretty clear that Assange is in pretty much the same position as the New York Times was. Times had received from Daniel Ellsberg top secret. You know, the secret documents in the Assange case are much lower level secrets, top secret documents, and published them. Assange is in the same situation. He received secret documents and is publishing them. Publishing, that's what media is. If you look at their website, they've published more documents, exposed more crimes in the United States than the Washington Post has in my whole life. Mm. And I'm 55 years old.
Sam, I don't want us to get caught up on this, but I'd be very curious because, as Mark said, there are some big issues about corporations and power and things that are being exposed through the leaking or publishing of these cables. But what do you think about WikiLeaks and their status?
Look, I think that WikiLeaks effectively has, I'm going to use this word very advisedly, but effectively declared war on the United States government. Hmm. And I don't want to get caught up in that, you know, this, we talk an awful lot about all sorts of wars these mm-hmm. days, war on terror and everything. But, I mean, you know, this is really a hostile act. This is an action that clearly is based on the idea that they're just going to tear down this structure and expose things. It's clearly based on this hostility that the United States somehow is a force for evil in the world, and therefore pretty much anything is justified. You can sort of throw everything out there and not really worry about the consequences.
Well, one of the things here, Anthony, that I just got on Facebook, Let me read this to you, and I want you both to comment. I will start with Sam and then go over to Kevin, and then we'll open the phones to Leo, who is our first caller, and Aaron calling in from the east side. Algery Stallings writes in, "I am sorry," on our Facebook page, "I'm sorry I can't condone anything that puts at risk human lives who work in the government or the military. This person you have on currently, Mark, just doesn't get it. Let it be his loved one working like Valerie Plame Wilson did in the CIA as an operative, or someone in the military, and they get outed on some information that impacts their lives, and I'm quite sure their tune will change."
You respond first?
Kevin and then Sam, yeah.
Well, yesterday, six American soldiers were killed in Afghanistan. Had nothing to do with WikiLeaks. It had something to do with an illegal war. If you're the person writing that really is concerned about military lives, they would oppose this war and urge the troops to come home immediately, because this war is unnecessary, in fact, counterproductive. It undermines our national security. Just like in Iraq, we are creating more enemies every day than we're capturing or killing. We're putting our soldiers' lives at risk. We're putting our economy at risk. This war is a disaster, and thank goodness WikiLeaks is exposing it. And WikiLeaks is not at war with the United States. WikiLeaks is a media operation putting out documents created by the United States. These are U.S. documents that they are publishing. They aren't making up stuff. They're putting out materials that show what the United States is really doing, and they show, sadly, that our country acts as a rogue state, a state that cannot be trusted even by its allies.
Sam?
Well, I mean, if a foreign power was doing what WikiLeaks was doing to us, how would we characterize it? If it was the Chinese grabbing our diplomatic traffic and sucking it out of databases and then spewing it out to the world, I don't think we would view it as anything other than a hostile action. And I can't even remotely agree with the characterization of the United States as a rogue state. I don't look at the United States foreign policy with blinders. I think overall the United States is a force for good. Have we made a million mistakes? Absolutely. Should we be all over our government and watch it like a hawk? Yeah, that's our obligation as citizens. If you're against the war in Afghanistan, then by all means, organize, protest, march in the streets, vote people out of office that'll continue to fund it. But, you know, you don't take classified information and throw it out in the public domain and sort of let the chips fall where they may.
But Sam, how do we keep track of the government if they lie to us and if the media doesn't report what's really going on? We're lied to. If you lived in Nazi Germany and we're not being told what the government was doing, don't you think the government should know? They could have stopped Hitler if they'd known.
Well, I guess I don't accept the analogy between Nazi Germany and...
Well, pick any rogue country.
All right, but one at a time.
Well, I mean, again, I don't... My family's Scots-Irish. We're the people that started the American Revolution. So when you preach to me about the fact that you better watch the government like a hawk and you don't ever trust them, you know, you're preaching to the choir. But taking classified information and acting like there's no reason why it should be protected and then just scattering it all over the world and just letting the consequences flow... there's just no way to justify that. I mean, going back to Yemen, not to make this a central piece, but just because I think it's a clear example, when the Yemenis refused to allow American forces to disrupt a terrorist plot that's unfolding there in a few weeks or in a few months, and it goes forward and Americans die as a consequence, that's not acceptable, and that's not fantasy, that's not science fiction. That's absolutely real.
So should The Guardian be published? Should The Guardian be published for publishing that?
Punished, you mean?
Yeah, punished. Should The Guardian be indicted for publishing that?
Well, I'm not sure what we should do with The Guardian. I think, First of all, the United States, I mean, there's a whole series of things we ought to do here. First of all, it's very clear that we're disseminating classified information much more broadly within the government than we should, that we're not protecting it. So it shouldn't be so readily.
What I have to do is open the phones. I promise our listeners the lines are full at 410-319-8888. Leo, you've been holding on the longest. You're on the air.
Yes. Good evening.
Good evening.
Mark Steiner and Anthony McCarthy.
Good evening, Leo.
And all of your guests. I guess technology is continuously evolving. It ought to be fail-safe. But I think it's impossible to have fail-safe technology. Every government in the world initiates and operates in the spying arena. They have a spying branch or spying apparatus in operation. Has WikiLeaks knowingly, solicited illegally leaked documents? That's a simple question as far as I'm concerned. Have they knowingly solicited illegally leaked documents? If so, then there's a basis, I think, for prosecution. If there is a basis for prosecution, if in fact we can prove that, then the United States government and all other governments should move ahead and prosecute WikiLeaks and its operatives. I think it's exciting. I think it's, we're talking about cyber civil disobedience. I think it's an exciting arena to operate in, and there are those who won't agree with me about that. But I say you got to prove it. And the burden of proof is on the governments that are impacted and so attacked, as they allege, to prove their case. And I would challenge all of these governments to prove their case. I think the truth will set us free.
There you go.
Leo, thank you so much. Let me get a couple of callers in here, then we'll come back to our guests and it can go around about this a bit more. Aaron, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, Aaron. Welcome.
You know, when I look at this WikiLeaks thing, I'm grateful for the information that was put out, although I don't understand what the hubbub of is, considering the kind of information we're talking about, diplomatic cables, which amounts to no more than phone conversations folks basically having gossip about other leaders. I will admit it's embarrassing, but I don't see where the crime is.
Well, I think that one of the interesting things is how these cables have been characterized. And I really, as I've been reading this, and I know maybe I'm oversensitive about these things, but I guess I fall in line behind Sam on many of these things, because I believe that our Secretary of State has spent hours upon hours calling world leaders, her counterparts around the world, and apologizing for how meetings are characterized, how world leaders are characterized by our staffs around the world. And it obviously, maybe saying lives are at risk from the cable releases may be an overstatement. But I think the consequences of the cables being released is what's problematic. She's had to do damage control. Our president has had to do damage control. But more importantly, it may seem like nothing to be saying that we know that Saudi leaders are having parties and they're using drugs and having sex, and or that the president of Afghanistan has some emotional issues. And I mean, but as Sam said, when our leaders walk into rooms to have serious life consequence conversations, I can't believe that these world leaders are not thinking, we can't trust you because of, and we're going to be real, real concentrated on what we say because it's going to be reported. It's going to be leaked. It's going to be that America is at fault here, not WikiLeaks, not the New York Times, but the American government is at fault because of these communiques. And so I think there's serious consequences to the release of these documents.
I hope there's consequences. since we're committing war crimes every day, there should be consequences.
Well, there's a lot here. I mean, I think I think this is complex in a lot of ways. I mean, on the one hand, you've got things that have been opened up here, Sam Faddis, that may endanger America. The Yemen thing, I think, is real. Do we have a right to battle groups that want to attack the United States of America and kill our citizens or not? Is part of the question here. That is the subtext of this conversation. As Algerie Stallings wrote in, she said, but I also oppose both wars, the Facebook thing. Mm-hmm. She wanted me to read that, so I read that as well. This also opens up other issues when you see the conversations between Shell Oil and the U.S. State Department, and they're clear undermining and manipulating the Nigerian government to get what they want that also kills numerous innocent Nigerians who are stuck in these oil fields and dying.
That's right.
So this is why this is complex. WikiLeaks is leaked documents to the establishment press that have redacted most of the information that has individuals' names in it. But So it's cutting this thing both ways. So I wonder what both of you think this where this takes us. Do you think the government's going to take this? But where do you think it takes us globally as a society? Sam and then Kevin, and then we'll go right back to the phones.
Well, listen, as I've said several times now, you know, I don't think that there should be anything for any American citizen. There shouldn't be any status in which you just sort of sit back in your rocking chair, trust that the government has everything under control, and you don't really need to pay attention. That's not what we're supposed to be doing as citizens. And there isn't any law that says that the U.S. government is going to make every decision correctly or that they're always going to be doing exactly what they should be. So, you know, that is a fight we have to fight every day as citizens to watch our government, to be on our government. Having an organization that sets itself up independent, actually, of any nation state, which illegally secures our classified information and then just sort of sprays it out to the world at large without any thought for the consequences of what's going to happen is not an answer to that problem. That is having very serious negative consequences. And, you know, whether we're talking about Yemen or whether we're talking about the Saudis, whether we're talking about anybody, and you not only want to know, but absolutely need to know, what is this country going to do if such and such happens? What is their real policy on Iran? What are they really planning? What are they really thinking? These are things that have real life and death consequences for Americans. And once your credibility is destroyed because you can't protect that kind of information, you are now cut off. You're blind, and you can't do what you're supposed to do.
You know, you keep talking, I agree with you, about the need for citizens to be vigilant and to watch their government. But then you keep saying the government should be allowed to lie to us and keep secrets. I mean, because that's what this essentially comes down to, the government lying to a people, keeping secrets from us about what we're really doing, and the media going along with that because of the, you know, connections between, you know, corporations and government. And I think, Mark, your example about Nigeria, you know, shows that the United States, in fact, may not be the force for good that we think we are or thought we have been. I think things have changed. We have, and I, you know, this has been pointed out for over a century of American empire. If you go back to Smedley Butler, most decorated Marine in history, when he retired, he said he had been the Al Capone, a stick-up man for the U.S. government corporations, going around the world protecting oil companies, fruit companies, national banks. You know, he did the dirty work of empire. Way back 100 years ago, he was in the military 1890s and 1930s. It's just gotten worse. And so I agree with you, we have to be vigilant. I don't see how we can be vigilant when we have a media that's so compliant. Thank goodness WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks is the John Peter Zenger case of the digital age. This is they're going to decide what kind of freedom of press we have. Is there going to be freedom, or will government be a lie?
410-319-8888 is the number here. Let's go right to the phones. I'm going to try to get three callers in a row here to get ideas from our listeners. Clarence, you're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi, Clarence.
Whether or not I agree or like what my government is doing in order to preserve what displaced the color America that we live in here, that's not for me to say. I, like every other American, will turn my back to it because of the simple fact they are doing what they deem in every instance as being necessary. When I heard about the WikiLeaks, I thought to myself, this is the most irresponsible act that any American or any organization could have done based on the fact that, like your guest said, people could die. We could lose vital interest in an area. If I were a foreign dignitary looking at somebody from the State Department looking in, I would say, here comes a messiah of morons in my office. Why would I want to talk to this individual? And my last statement some people may laugh at it, but I'm sitting here in my living room with a schematic diagram of a cruise missile, so I'm going to just put it out on the Internet and let everybody have it. That's freedom of speech. I have the right to do that. That's basically what I wanted to say.
Clarence, thank you
so much.
Let's go to some other callers. Mitchell, you're on the air. Mitchell, you're on the air.
The freedom of press is at the whim of the government. During World War II, black journalists were writing an editorial saying that black people shouldn't go to World War II until we had freedom here. And the government threatened to shut those presses down. And the press and the presses who refused to go along and retract those editorials, they were shut down. That was a PBS special about that. How many people know about that historical fact that the government shut down presses in this country for as long as they wanted because they refused?
Mitchell, what happened to Mitchell? Mitchell, I'm sorry. We did not do that. I don't know how that happened. I deeply apologize for being cut off.
No one touched anything.
No, no, I really did not. Because I like Mitchell as a sharp thinker. I didn't want to cut him off ever. Bruce, you're on the air.
Yeah. Good evening, fellas.
Hi, Bruce. We have a short period of time. So
I'll try to make it brief. You know, it always amazed me that sometimes some of the Americans are so patriotic and believe in our government so much. I can understand it somewhat. But sometimes they're blind to the fact that, you know what, because we're Americans and mom's apple pie, we're not morally better than other cultures or other governments or whatever. A lot of times people don't realize that our government, our culture, and some of its policies have been just as manipulative and just as corrupt and just as ridiculous as some of the nations we call rogue nations. I agree with Kevin Zeiss has been saying all along. Have a good evening.
Bruce, thank you so much for your thoughts.
Well, I got one caller.
You got more than one. You got more than one. Gentlemen, just to see where this goes, I mean, one final thought very quickly. Do you think, Sam, that WikiLeaks should be prosecuted or not?
Absolutely. I do. And, you know, for somebody, and I'm not going to pretend to sit down right now off the top of my head and cite specific statutes, but look, I think this is an action that you cannot, if you sit by impotently and allow this to happen without consequences, it will not end here. It will escalate, and it will get worse, and the consequences are inevitable.
It's going to get worse anyway, whether they prosecute or not. The prosecution will be a stretch of the law. There's a good chance that the government will lose the case against Assange. The Espionage Act has not been successfully used against the media and Assange's media. The Espionage Act has been abused in the past. We've seen union leaders and publications sent to jail for 10, 15-year sentences and abusive acts on based on that. But we are a democracy, and a democracy requires the people to know what their government is doing. That's where we started. WikiLeaks is democracy.org. I hope people who want to see this as an open society will come to WikiLeaks is democracy.org, sign up and get involved, because we're going to be defending Assange and WikiLeaks strenuously. We're already seeing openleaks.org starting today. That's an alternative to WikiLeaks. We're seeing mirror sites of WikiLeaks. The people are going to insist on the truth, and it's not going to be stopped. I don't care what the government does. They're losing.
Kevin Teese, thanks for being with us. Always a pleasure to have you in the studio. Sam Faddis, thanks so much for taking your time to join us today. It's always a pleasure to have you on the air with us.
Absolutely. Happy holidays, by the way.
To you, too. And we look forward, Anthony, to having you all back on the air to continue these discussions. We will continue looking at WikiLeaks as things come out and see where our governments go and where Britain goes, Sweden goes, where the United States goes, Australia, and what happens with this new cyber war being launched between Anonymous and the corporate powers of the world, and also what it says about the power of corporations and the rest. So, gentlemen, thank you. From Anthony McCarthy, both thank you all for being here. We're going to take a very brief break and come right back. On the way out there, I have to remind you, support for WEAA is provided by Chef Max and All the Blues, featuring live blues and buffet every Friday and Saturday night, and Chef Max Sunday brunch with barbecue selections from the grill. Chef Max and All the Blues is located at 4907 Hartford Road. For more information on reservations, 410-319-6227. That's 410-319-6227. And Anthony McCarthy and I will be back in just a second to look at prisons in America and in Baltimore City as well. Stay with us.